This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. Inkstershow at WRKF.org works online. Today, for much of the hour, we will talk about the prospect of the City of St. George. The master planner who spearheaded the lauded and recently adopted future BR land use plan has cautioned that the proposed city could derail progress made by the parish. Those words came from John Friganese a few weeks ago at the Baton Rouge Rotary Club. Now, there are others, such as former State Representative Woody Jenkins, now a publisher of significance in this community, who are actively touting St. George and its potential organization. Lionel Rainey III is one of those involved, and he says the goal is a safe, modern, efficiently run city and a world-class school system. Reverse the outmigration of middle-income families leaving East Baton Rouge in search of better educational opportunities. The city would have about 107,000 people. It is about halfway to the 18,000 signatures needed to let voters decide whether the unincorporated area south of Baton Rouge's city limits should become its own municipality. There is no timeline to get the required signatures, which represent a quarter of the registered voters in the proposed city. And those are the people who would vote. It would not be a citywide or a parish-wide vote. It would be those within the borders of the proposed city of St. George. With us to talk about this is a man who's following it closely, Scott Wilfong, Republican consultant, who might have an opinion about this that is somewhat surprising to some. And by the way, State Representative Bodie White, state senator now, who is leading the charge for this in the legislature, he says he will be with us sometime soon, very soon, to talk about this, and hopefully we can make that happen as well. Scott, do you live in this area?
Well, I don't live in the proposed St. George. I was one of the few, though, that my home is in the boundaries of the Southeast School District, which was actually created. The district was created. It just wasn't funded. Governor Jindal actually signed the bill. So we have a Southeast School District whose boundaries are between I-10 and I-12 in East Baton Rouge Parish. My home lies in that area, but it also is in the city of Baton Rouge, and so I would not be in the proposed St. George city.
So you would not have a vote?
I would not have a vote, no.
Well, what do you think? This 107,000 people, it's a big part of our community. Do you think this is a good move?
Well, I don't. I think it's a bad idea, actually, because, you know, I guess, and I understand the frustration, and from a conservative standpoint, it is something that, you know, I do favor, is people taking responsibility. And, you know, when that's how we became a country, was, you know, a group of people decided to break away from people that they didn't feel were representing them well. But when you look at what how this is being portrayed, I just would like I'd like it to be the truth to be presented. And I really feel like when you read in some of Mr. Jenkins' publications and The Advocate and others, when you read the people who are signing this petition, 9 out of 10 or more are saying, we need schools, we need schools. Well, the real question is, if you understand that this new city does nothing to guarantee you a school system, in order to get the school system, you still have to go to the legislature, still have to get 2/3. All of the parameters remain the same. All you would have if the city forms is just a new municipality that has to be funded, that has to be staffed. The highest cost for any city is personnel. Where's that money going to come from? And I really believe the people that are signing this petition, their hearts are in the right place, but they're doing it for a school system that there's no guarantee you'll ever have.
Well, today, the top story in The Advocate from Charles Lucier says new plan to create 16 school districts. Supporters of creating the new city of St. George announced Monday if they succeed, they'll seek to create a school system or a school district even bigger in size than Baton Rouge, one that would absorb 10 city schools, also building 6 new ones, including a new high school. Those 16 schools would make up a new St. George independent school district. The legislature and perhaps voters statewide still have to decide whether this proposed district could break away from the East Baton Rouge Parish school system, which serves those areas. The new St. George district would be much larger than previous proposed breakaway districts. The leaders of the St. George incorporation effort are holding a public meeting at 6:30 Thursday at Woodlawn Baptist Church, Jones Creek Road, 5805 Jones Creek, and they'll discuss the latest in their incorporation efforts?
Well, you know the political reality, and I'll try to say this somewhat tactfully, is that there is a group in the legislature that is not going to let this happen. And the fact is, they have the numbers.
You're talking about the schools, right?
That will not let the new school system happen. Right or wrong, I can see both sides of the argument, and I'm not making an indictment either way. But if what they want is a school system, the method to effectuate that is 2015 in the legislative races. You go out and you target legislators who are against you, and you try to replace them with folks mm-hmm. that are for you. That's the way it's done. Forming a 107,000-person city that serves no purpose other than just to pay salaries, pay politicians, because you got to have a mayor, you got to have a city council, you're going to have some sort of elected police presence. This is just it's a cat chasing its tail, and I just would I wish these people well, and I don't believe they're doing it for any. I hope they're not doing it for any ulterior motives, but let's just tell the truth and tell folks that even if it passes, we still have to go get 2/3 out of the legislature. We still have to go down the same road, and the fact is we've just got too many legislators that don't support this right now.
297-5633, political consultant Scott Wilfong, a conservative who, unlike some of his fellow conservatives, says this St. George concept is not one that is worthy of approval. And mind you, about 9,000 signatures have been accumulated, 18,000 are needed, and it goes then to a vote of the new district, which... if a majority says yes, then we've got the village.
Yeah,
of
and
St.
I think
George.
I think that's part of the problem is that you see, even if you get to the 18,000, which I kind of question the 9,000. They're not releasing these signatures; they're just claiming they have them. That's easy to do when you pass out 90 petitions that each have spaces for 100 people on it. You get those back. Theoretically, you have 9,000 signatures. The problem is, if Jim Inkster signs it one time, he can't sign it again. If five people come and come to your house, you only get one shot at it. So there's going to be some duplicate signatures, And then if you get the 18,000, that's still only a fourth. It takes a majority to win an election, as we all know. So
depending on who shows up,
it depends on who shows up. But I've seen some movement in the political areas in town. Some business leaders with the chamber and all got together. It was in the Advocate about, an informational campaign. Usually that's code speak for mm-hmm. we're going to come out against this. So I think it's a mm-hmm. long shot that it will be formed. I just hate to see the national press that has picked up on this and has turned it into some sort of racial divide. It was in the Huffington Post. It was on USA Today. I think the headline in USA Today
You don't
was,
think race is part of this?
I mean, I hope it's not. I can't speak for the organizers and what's in their minds, but it certainly is pulling away a large majority of the white voters, and it
right.
would leave.
Well, we're going to go to the phone lines in just a moment, mm-hmm. but Robert Miller writes, is there anyone who actually believes that there would be a group advocating for a new city or school district if it were not for the issue of race? If the current city of Baton Rouge were 90% white instead of 45% white, do you really believe the proposed city of St. George would even be on the drawing board? This is all a rather simple and sad story. White residents who have fled the city want to have their cake and eat it too. They like all the benefits of a large metropolitan area, but want to keep their tax dollars to themselves. Is there some truth in Bob Miller's comments?
Well, I went to the legislature when the Southeast School District was up, and I testified. I'm the president of my homeowners association. Pray for me, I guess, but I am, and so I felt like I needed to go and speak for our folks there. And what I heard presented, there were some things that did make me question, phrases that were used about certain types of kids and other types of kids. So, I really hope that that's not the case. I think it is just we're fed up with it and we want a better product. But, I guess the voters have to decide for themselves.
Ann downtown, Ann, good morning. You're on the air.
I had two related questions. The first is, six new schools sound awful expensive. Has anyone done any kind of analysis on what the cost of that will be? And second related question, has anyone done a real economic analysis on what the tax situation would be in the new district to support all these new elected officials and administration for the new city. I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, I think, you know, you saw a study, a supposed study that was commissioned for a budget, but I think it was Jim Richardson gave a talk about the economic impact, and there's no question. I mean, you know, I've talked to several former councilmen and other councilmen in other cities. By far the biggest expense for any city is personnel. So someone's got to pay for these folks to, you know, to staff City Hall, to be the Public Works Department. If St. George doesn't have a Public Works Department, they're going to have to contract that. You know, how does that fit with the East Baton Rouge Department of Public Works, you know, municipal streets, parish streets? You know, there's 1,000 questions to be answered. And, you know, ask folks in Zachary if their taxes went up, and they did. And they're happy to pay them because they have a great product up there. They have a great school system. You know, what I'm for is getting a good product and then paying for it. I'm not for paying for something on the hopes that it's going to be a good product.
297-5633, Woody Jenkins in his publication, the Capital City News, he's now using bylines of St. George, by the way. So I think Woody he's ahead of the pack on this. He writes, proponents of the city of St. George released a proposed budget for the new city. Ironically, they propose continuing to pay 100% of the parish-wide expenses from the budget of St. George, the reason they will still be able to run a $20 million surplus, according to Mr. Jenkins. The proposed budget is shown, and including $68,000 in sales taxes. They say they've got the money.
Well, you know, I can't say for certain on that. All I know is that, like I said, when the Southeast School District was proposed, by their own admission, the same folks that organized this, they were $6 million short on day one for the Southeast School operating budget. I asked the question at the legislature. Other legislators asked it and basically just got a circular answer. Oh, it has to do with MFP. Well, figure MFP. Go ahead. MFP is easy to figure out. It's a mathematical formula. Figure it out and then tell us how it works. It never could come to a straight answer, and the bottom line was it was going to be a budget deficit from day one on the new school district. My home lies in that school district. That's one major reason why I opposed that. And I think a lot of folks in St. George, there's a lot of wealthy folks over there, but there's a lot of middle income and even lower income in those boundaries. And, you know, when you have to start increasing property taxes, you know, 20, 30 mills, that's a lot of money.
Mike in South Downs. Hi, Mike. You're on WRKF.
Yes, I'd like to find out, there are people who have residences in other parts of the parish but own property in the area that we're talking about. Where is the voice for those people in all these discussions as to whether this area becomes a city?
Well, it's whether if you're registered to vote in that area, you get to decide whether to sign the petition or cast your vote there. You know, this is probably one of the flaws in our government, you know, in Louisiana law is that, you know, to become a new city there's no time limit on getting the signatures. As you mentioned earlier, it only takes a fourth. It takes a third to file a recall. When you want to recall a politician, like what just happened in Port Allen, they had 60 days or 90 days to collect the signatures, and they had to get a third of the registered voters. It takes much less to form a new city, and there's no time limit. And I think the caller's right. You know, there's a major economic impact to people that own property there.
297-5633, your number, 877-217-5757 outside the area. Inkster Show at WRKF.org online, and we'll be back with Scott Wilfong in 9 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633, your number. Kevin Gallagher producing today. John Friganese, the city planner who's nationally renowned, who's done some work here in Baton Rouge, and his plan has actually been adopted, the future BR land use plan. He says the idea of creating the city of St. George is one that is not replicated anywhere else in the United States, saying it would cause so much turmoil. He noted that the proposed boundaries include major retail developments, including the Mall of Louisiana and Perkins Row, which generates significant tax sales tax for the city parish budget. Friganese says the problem is that the whole parish built a major retail center there. You have $90 million go from one hand to another, and that's going to cause a major catastrophe to the finances of this parish. That's from John Friganese. proposed independent school district would take in the boundaries of what supporters up until now have been calling the Southeast Baton Rouge Community School System, an area that includes part of the city of Baton Rouge as well as unincorporated areas between Interstates 10 and 12. Scott Wilfong, Republican political consultant, is with us, and this issue, perhaps wrongly, has been characterized as one of these conservative-liberal kind of skirmishes, but Scott is certainly no liberal, but he is with people like Friganese and others who are probably not with Scott 90% of the time on other issues. Does that make you comfortable, Scott?
Well, probably short answer, no, but it really is a conservative issue if you look at it through the lens that I'm looking at it, which is that, you know, we got to get a handle on our tax policies and our finances in this parish, in this state. I mean, what you mentioned with the Mall of Louisiana, that's the disaster, the problem with the CATS tax. CATS is the bus system is bringing people to the Mall of Louisiana, but the Mall of Louisiana is not paying any taxes to fund the CATS system. The same way with Perkins Row, the same way with a lot of these areas. We've built these retail shopping centers out there, and then we balkanize, you know, with our tax policies so that, well, who gets what? And now this St. George, you know, is the 800-pound gorilla that's kind of come along and really shone the light on it and says, okay, what happens if we take 100,000 of, you know, arguably our more affluent areas, you know, people out of the south, out of the parish, and put them in their own governmental entity? Well, how does all that money flow? I mean, it was bad enough 20 years ago, and we've only made it worse. So, you know, I think it is a conservative standpoint, is let's fix it. Let's don't just start, you know, splitting everything up and making it worse. I mean, I got a text from an elected official a minute ago that said this is like a divorce where one spouse has a huge mortgage and can't pay it, you know, and then you've got the other one. What do we do here?
So. All right. Dan in River Bend. Hi, Dan. You're on with Scott Wilfong.
Yeah, thanks. Right before you went to break, Mr. Wilfong made a comment that I don't know if you realize how important it is, and that is one of the things about the homestead exemption in Louisiana is that your home is homestead exempt for $75,000 in value, but not from municipal ad valorem taxes. If city, as has been done in the other communities that have done this, ends up having to impose millages, those millages are going to be on $1 of people's property. And I can't imagine that anybody believes that, because right now these people are not paying ad valorem taxes, city ad valorem taxes, because the ad valorem taxes there are parish on the first $75,000. If those ad valorem taxes have to become municipal ad valorem taxes, their taxes go up. And I don't know that they really understand that. And the divorce analogy is very good. Everybody knows it takes more money to operate two households than one. And this is not a relatively small community that's not going to have a lot of expenses. They will have as much operating expenses as essentially any other city in the state, including, you know, Alexandria, Shreveport, Lake Charles, Lafayette, Monroe. They will have that level of necessary expenditures. And I just don't know that anybody knows that. I think you're right. I think they're signing this petition because they think if they sign this petition, that somehow gets them an independent school district.
I think that's exactly it. And you know, while I sound heavily against it, I'm personally against it. I would just ask the proponents of the St. George system, tell the truth. Tell the truth that of what this does gets you no closer to a school system than where you are now. You still have to go through the legislative process.
Mary in Port Allen. Mary, you're on the air with Scott Wilfong. Hi, Mary.
And what about law enforcement services?
Pardon me? I don't understand that. HB in Denham Springs. Hi, HB. You're on with Scott Wilfong.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sir, there, not too long ago, there were some 600 people, teachers, applying for less than 30 positions in Livingston Parish schools. They didn't even want to teach in other school systems. They wanted to come out this way. My question is this. Can you really blame the people for wanting the best education that they can probably get in the better school systems, as is Central did, and I think Zachary and some other cities, by seceding from actually the East Baton Rouge Parish school system. Can you really blame them for wanting to do the best they can for their kids? Thank you.
No, absolutely not. I live in that area. You know, I have to choose private school. I have to pay that. I would much rather have a public school option there. But as I said, there's a process for changing that. It's a process, and it's legislative. It is not forming a new municipality. It is one thing does not have anything to do with the other. They have attempted to sell this as the first step towards getting the school system. Well, like I said, the school district, the Southeast School District's in place right now. It just has to be funded through the MFP program, and that takes 2/3 vote. If you want to get that 2/3 vote, I suggest going in those legislative races in 2015 and trying to make some changes, which is what Governor Jindal did when mm-hmm. he wanted to change education, what other governors have done, what other groups of people have done. They've changed it through the legislature, which is how the Constitution intended it to be changed.
297-5633, Barry in Mid-City. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. Really appreciate the program. Wondering what the implications are for the consent decree. Many of us worked hard on several years ago for the DSEC suit. Isn't there going to be possibly some concerns on that level?
Well, again, if they break off into a new school system, there would be, I would think. I think there's a side point to that, you know, if the folks would work with the school mm-hmm. system to make these changes in the interim, rather than spending all this labor and money and time trying to get a city, it seems like they've decided to hit the pause button on the school effort and take a year, 2 years, whatever, try to get this monster of a city created and then start all over again. Well, you know, if what we're really wanting to do is change the school system for the better, and, you know, I'll give credit where credit's due. The numbers have come out, and East Baton Rouge, the school system has improved somewhat. I assume that's due to some of the efforts that other folks around the parish have done. But, the splitting off and taking my ball and going and playing in my own, sandbox is just not what's going to fix our school system. And I think everybody agrees we don't just need another city just to have it.
All right. Well, some of the expenditures that have been placed before the masses as a proposed budget for the city of St. George annual budget, $686,000 for a mayor and a 4-5 person staff. Well, if they're, let's say, five, that's six people at $686,000. That's an average salary of $114,000 a year. Not bad. Mm-hmm. And $1.5 million a year for communications. $1.5 million for communications. It says it would include a call center to handle citizen complaints as well as public relations activities. Scott, you're in the public relations business. You might want to vie for that contract.
I wonder if I could get a bid in on that.
That's a lot of money for communications for a city of 107,000 people.
Yeah, and this would not be the first time, in Louisiana that a municipality or a governmental organization was created to fund some individuals or a group of individuals, business or livelihood or whatever. What do school systems need? They need construction. They need architects. They need health care. They need communications.
Well, $13 million for public works, $13,508,000, $3,163,000 for police, $5,616,000 for general administration.
How much for police?
$3,163,000.
Well, that seems like where do you get the startup when you're starting with zero cars, zero jails, zero handcuffs, zero uniforms? That seems like a low number.
Says the item provides for an elected police chief as required by state law under the act that spells out a contract with the East Baton Rouge Sheriff for $3 million to provide enhanced law enforcement mm-hmm. services. So Sheriff's Office would have some of it, and there would be a St. George Police Department.
Right.
There's already a St. George Fire Station.
There's
St.
George Fire Station, a St. George Catholic Church, a St. George School, and now a proposed St. George City. You know, just interesting that they picked that name. But, I hope the voters will look at it and really ask those type questions, And I'll give them credit. The proponents have come out and been proactive in putting these numbers out. Mm-hmm. They didn't wait until they were forced to do so. But, imagine dropping the city of Monroe into into the East Baton Rouge Parish. Roughly the same, you know, probably Monroe. I don't think Monroe has 100,000 people.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. So no. Drop the city of Monroe. Go find out what the operating budget for the city of Monroe is.
Would be one of the biggest cities in the state.
Yeah. In a parish that already has a consolidated form of government, mm-hmm. that already has, you know, consolidated schools, you know, one school district, the fire and police are about the only things that are split off. But, you know, you just
$1.5 million for communications.
Well, yeah, we could draw some conclusions on that, but
it's a lot of communicating. 297-5633 is your number. Scott Wilfong and the Village of St. George, Marvin in Port Allen. Hi, Marvin. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, as a veteran of the United States Marine Corps and as a deputy sheriff, I have two questions. One, what about services for your veterans living in that area? And also, listen to the other caller. There was a question about the budget as far as law enforcement. But my question in reference to that is, where would they get the money to fund law enforcement, and for how long of a term for such a big area?
Well, they claim they'll get it from the sales tax revenue.
And $7 million in gaming taxes from LaBerge.
That's right. LaBerge is out there. But, you know, there's real questions. The city, you know, the mayor's office and all, hasn't really come out and addressed a lot of things like some of the money that's bonded. Some of the sales tax revenue that's bonded, you know, how does that, how does that affect those bonds?
Well, he asked about veterans. Another item in the budget is $1,976,000 for non-governmental organizations, including the Parish Health Unit, the Council on Aging, Veterans Service Office, Crime Stoppers, Food Bank, and others. So,
so they would be funding
another $1,900,000. So it doesn't look like they've been terribly conservative in their numbers, but they're also counting on a whole lot of money coming from what you talked about, the Mall of Louisiana, from Perkins Row, and from LaBerge, $7 million from the casino not so far away.
I just don't see how they, you know, I would challenge, I think the council, the Metro Council needs to have a meeting on this. I think they need to have a public meeting, you know, let the public ask some of these questions, have the staff there that can answer them on
site.
But
they don't have a vote.
Well, they don't have a vote, but it affects the people they represent. And some of these council members certainly are representing St. George.
Quelly in Scotlandville. Hi, Quelly, you're on the air. Good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Fine. Good.
I wanted to make a point that people are giving kudos to the Zachary School District, the Central School District, all these school districts that have recently broken away from EBR, where they don't consider the fact that these are the same students, the same teachers that were part of the EBR system. So all the accolades that are given to these perimeter school districts should also be given to EBR, simply because there was one thing that changed in those other systems, and that's the culture. Right when Baton Rouge is poised to be a great city, I mean, we all know what the efforts that Matt Holden has done to bring Baton Rouge into the limelight. We don't need this kind of dissension, this type of disintegration of our efforts to make Baton Rouge a good city. So my point is, how is it that we could consider all these accolades for Central and Zachary and not consider the fact that these were the same students that were part of the EBR system, the same teachers that were part of the EBR system, and now you have St. George that want to take part of the EBR system?
Well, I can take the other side of that for just a minute, and you know, for in the Zachary instance, you know, and Central as well, you know, they felt like there was too much influence, just like we have, you know, with the United States Senate represents all of us, and a senator who's elected in Montana may affect a policy that affects us deeply, like healthcare. The school system had members who were elected from all over the parish that were making decisions on what Zachary and Central felt like should be local issues. And so they said, we want to control it ourselves. We want to elect our local people to represent us rather than having to rely on the votes of someone from Shenandoah or Mid-City or Scotlandville or wherever. So in that sense, I understand it. But the caller is right that it is the same students and it was the same teachers. It was just the control that changed. And if that's all we were talking about here is trying to localize some control. I mean, Texas has, you know, hundreds of school districts. Arkansas has a lot of school districts. They work better than here. I think the parish-wide school system is a flaw of our Constitution. But again, there's a way to change that through the legislative process. If that's what we want to do, we can go that route. But, you know, when the legislature says no, there's a process for getting that changed, and it doesn't seem like it's been followed here.
Dr. Albert Samuels at Southern University, who was quoted in the Huffington Post on this issue. Good morning, Dr. Samuels.
Good morning, Jim, and also good morning to Scott.
Good morning. How are
morning.
You?
I think there are a number of reasons to be very concerned about this proposal, and I was going to be very quickly because I know there are others who want to speak. I do believe it's racially divisive, even though that's not obviously one of the stated reasons for it. I believe that it's close to the surface. Close to the surface. I think it's wrong for St. George to be able to take the Mall of Louisiana, Brookings Road, the hospital district, things that really all of the citizens of the East Baton Rouge Parish have paid for to some degree or another, and say, we're going to take that for ourselves, even though the rest of the parish has actually put up the pony for that, not just the residents there. And I think finally, I really believe it's deceitful to tell people that we can do this and your taxes are not going to be raised. I think if anybody who thinks that if we go along with this in St. George, we can do this without taxes going up, probably deserves to have their pocket picked, because that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, and they have to be raised just to fund the city. And then if what most of the folks, you know, there's no question most of the folks want a new school system out of it. If you get the school system, you got to raise them again to fund the school system, because it's been proven you can't work. The like I said, the budget for the Southeast system, which was much smaller, was $6 million under budget.
Right.
So you know, that if the truth is presented to these people, I think you're going to see very few folks actually sign that petition.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm done.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Samuels. Always good to hear from Albert Samuels, sage on the bluff. Scott Wilfong, the sage from St. George, kind of, will return after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, and political consultant Scott Wilfong is with us. He is against the village of St. George and the prospect of a new city breaking away from Baton Rouge, a city that would have a population of 107,000 people. We are vying, and hopefully we'll have very soon, Bodie White, the state senator who is leading the charge in this effort. And as noted, the city has already gotten 9,000 signatures. At least the organizers say they have. They need 18,000. It would go to the registered voters within the city limits of St. George, which number about 70,000 registered voters, and 9,000 significant. Scott, you question that number, though. You say it may not be that many. So there's some work to be done, but there is no deadline on this. And another question that was brought up by a listener online is that she says she signed the petition, now wishes she hadn't. Once you sign it,
no, there is a time where you can withdraw.
You can?
And once it's presented to the registrar.
You can take your name off?
Yes, there's a time where you can petition the registrar to remove your name, yeah. But it has to be after it's submitted to the registrar.
All righty. James in Mid-City. Hi, James. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I appreciate Mr. Wilfong pointing out that the establishment of a separate municipality does absolutely nothing to change school governance. But since part of the discussion has been about bashing the East Baton Rouge school system, I have two observations. The first is that students in Central and Zachary have absolutely no school choice within the public school system. Students in the East Baton Rouge school system have a wide variety of choices. The second observation is that I have attended more than half of the East Baton Rouge school system's board meetings for the last 2 years, and I haven't heard any of the St. George proponents attend those meetings and try to steer East Baton Rouge Parish school system policy in a way that would make the improvements that they claim are so badly needed. I'd appreciate your response. Thank you.
Well, I'm impressed if you've attended that many board meetings and can still speak coherently. That's very impressive. But the background of politics. I mean, I'm not going to go too far in this story, but basically there were meetings held with political leaders from both these groups, and offers were made, and it was we'll have it our way or we'll have it none at all. And that's where really this came from. If you remember when the bill failed in the legislature early June, as the session was ending up, this was almost mentioned as an afterthought. We might, the bill failed. We might look at possibly incorporating. Within a few weeks, it was, full bore.
Wildfire.
Yeah. So there were some backroom meetings that took place, and it was basically, some folks think that this is a leverage thing to try to get something else, some concessions from the school system, something like that. I don't know. But again, I'll just go back to, the legislature is where this process needs to change. Not, they have the right to form a city. But if what you're trying to get is a school system, go the right route.
Shane Spillman of the Baton Rouge Firefighters Union, the local 557 president, says sales tax revenue is paid by everyone who shops in these areas, not just the ones who live in the area. Pulling away from the city parish government that has worked hard and made a parish that is able to attract new businesses into the parish, it's not the right thing to do. Baton Rouge Firefighters Union has united against the incorporation of St. George.
Well, I've heard no one, up until this happened, I never heard anyone. I have a lot of friends in Shenandoah, White Oak, Highland Road area, that area. I've never heard anyone say, boy, we're just not represented well. The city parish government just doesn't represent me, and I just feel so isolated out here on an island. And now it's almost like it's like we're making up stuff. Like, we pay, that area pays 100% of the constitutional offices. Well, they have 80% of the high value real estate when you do the math that way. But that's like saying, that one group of voters elected someone else. Every vote counts. Every right. dollar counts. People who pay taxes all over the parish fund these offices just as a percentage. Yeah, the real estate's more valuable in that area.
Well, and Michael notes that in the last two elections, Scott, you may not want to bite on this one, but Mayor Holden has won St. George in the last two elections.
Yes. So
he could have been the mayor of St. George.
He could have been the mayor of St. George. And I think it's telling that he's not taken an official position on this yet. And I think when the time comes, that's going to carry a lot of weight.
James in St. George. Good morning, James. You're on the air with Scott.
Hi. Yeah, I live in St. George, and I'm all about it. I'm not so sure that the city is the right way to go. However, if it does get it into the spotlight to get the problem fixed, then I think it's a good idea.
Well, and like I said, that's what it appeared to be at the start, was an effort to try to, get some political leverage, some capital that could be used. And now it's kind of taken on a life of its own. I still say, 18,000 signatures is a monster. Talk to any elected official that's tried to qualify by petition, by nominating petition. They have to get 100, 400 mm-hmm. signatures. That's a lot of work. Do that about 90 times and see how much work it is. It's, it's daunting. Now, they're organized and they're using a lot of technology to gather these signatures, but you're starting to see now, they had this period of probably a month or a month and a half of real, one-sided reporting, basically. One side of, this is the positive side of it. Now some respected people like Jim Richardson and I can't remember his name, but the gentleman you quoted, are starting to put out some...
Reganese,
yeah, are putting out some real numbers. And, people are starting to say, wait a minute, is this really the best idea? So, just to assume it's going to even happen, I think it's a toss up. No better than 50-50 chance it actually gets to the ballot.
297-5633 is your number. Rich writes at Inkster Show at WRKF. He writes that this should be a boon to political consultants and public relations specialist, and Scott is both of those. I see 7 to 9 council members would be elected. There'd be a lot of elections.
Oh yes, yes.
A mayor.
It will do good. It will help my business.
And
considerably.
You might get that $1.5 million communications contract.
You never know, you know. But I think there's a communications person already in that group. I know there's a couple of architects and some health insurance guys and some construction company people, but. But we'll see where that goes. But yeah, it would certainly be, you know. But is more councilmen, more mayors, more elected officials, is that how we improve our community? Is that the answer to, yeah, that's if we'd be a great city if we just had a few more councilmen. I don't think so.
Who would be the likely mayor of St. George?
Oh, I think you'd see a lot of names out there. I'm sure, you know, some in that group would want to, you know.
Buddy White, would he run for mayor?
He doesn't live in the, he lives in Central.
Yeah,
but,
he's not.
You know, you could certainly
see. He could move, I guess.
He could move. You could see some of the councilmen out there. You know, you've got former councilmen that live in the area. You've got former state reps, current state reps. You'd probably have 10 people run for mayor, especially if, how much was that salary? An average?
Well,
the mayor's salary is bound to be about $150,000.
Or 200, yeah.
He probably makes more than Kip Holden. They'd be the highest paid mayor in the parish.
And maybe in the state.
Maybe Kip would move and run for... He wouldn't be term limited
that's
there.
That's right. I wouldn't think. No, that's true.
You said he carried the area. I would think he could win again, right?
Well, he might. He might. Although you would think that he would have more spirited opposition than he's had the last two times.
Well, yes, possibly.
Yeah. Mike Walker, would he be eligible to run?
I think he would. I think he would. He lives in north of I-12, but I think he's in that new area.
He finished second in the last mayor's campaign.
Oh, yeah. Don't think there's not a lot of politicians looking for a nice place to land and you know,
well,
the health benefits that would go along with it. It's, you know. There's a lot of goodies, as they say.
But as I said, this is not necessarily a conservative budget. $1.5 million for communications, $1.6 million for finance, a full-time finance director, and the remainder of services to be contracted. So bookkeepers, accountants, and a finance director. Nice jobs will be created by this, taxpayer-funded jobs.
Well, the communications, you know, I mean, that can't. I mean, East Baton Rouge spends money on communications as well. You know, they have you have to communicate, you know, where to find services and where to get services, where your offices are. So there probably would be some heavy startup costs on communications. But again, how would you, you know, where does that stop, and where do you turn off the spigot, so to speak?
$17,717,000 for constitutional offices, district court, family court, juvenile court, a DA.
Yeah, they're like corner. Throwing a bone to everybody, saying we already pay 100% of the cost, so we'll just go on and continue paying it. Well, you know, that's the parish is required to provide office space for all those constitutional offices.
Gotcha.
And that's where they're, you know, that's where they're getting that from to make it appear that they're, you know.
All right.
Benevolent, I guess.
Well, it's something that I think will gain momentum in both directions. And Woody Jenkins notes that the Baton Rouge Area Chamber is planning a full-fledged ad campaign against this, and notes also that people who live in St. George will be paying for some of the ads against the
Well,
the
I
city.
Am proud of the chamber. It would be the first time in memory that the chamber actually did something that would keep taxes low. So I don't know if they realize that, but let's don't clue them in. I'm happy to see them do it.
Okay, so Adam Knapp is against this, it looks like, and the people at the Baton Rouge Area Chamber. Friganese says this is much different than Zachary or Baker or Central. He says that if you have a great city and great education, it will bring business. Well, actually, this is one of the organizers, Norman Browning, on the St. George side. He says, Zachary schools haven't hurt the parish. Central schools haven't hurt the parish. We're going to improve economic development in East Baton Rouge.
But there is a major difference in that these areas were already, Zachary was already a city They just formed a school system. Central, while it wasn't a city, everybody knew the concept of Central, and it was a community with pretty clearly defined boundaries of where you would go. This would be Stephendale and the Country Club of Louisiana and Shenandoah and...
They're all in it.
They're all in. I mean, there's no common geography. There's no common economic boundaries. There's no common, you know, social status, anything like that. It's just throwing together every precinct that happens not to be in the city of Baton Rouge that's available. So, you know, I don't know what sort of sense of community, you know, that's going to engender, but it's you know... It's their right to do it, and I guess we'll see what happens.
Jack Nicklaus, who designed the Country Club course, Country Club of Louisiana course, he said it was good enough for a PGA event. I can see it now, live from the city of St. George. It's the St. George Invitational.
It is good enough for a PGA Tour event.
You would know.
I would.
Michael on I-12. Michael, good morning. You're on the air with Scott Wilfong.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Mike.
This is Michael on I-12. I would like for those who are interested in this on either side to study the Birmingham, Alabama case. I lived in Birmingham, or lived in Alabama for 15 years, and they've got a mess there. If you don't know it, Birmingham had to file Chapter 11, and it resulted from similar divisions to what Village St. George people are proposing. So I just wanted to encourage people to do that.
City of Sorrento is going through some of that now. I mean, I know it's a much smaller area, but they're talking about deincorporating Sorrento because they can't afford, you know, there's no revenue. They don't have, this would obviously have the opposite, you know, circumstances, but certainly there's, when you just duplicate services and you don't, it doesn't result in more economic development. You know, if there were something that was going to bring in, you know, more business, new industry, new whatever, you know, maybe develop land that otherwise was just going to go unused, that's generally why you incorporate cities, you know, is to have some positive economic benefit. In this case, it just seems like it's just a political reach for a group of folks that you know, they know what they want, which is a school system, but I don't know why they think this is the route to get there.
Will these organizers get the 18,000 signatures?
I mean, because there's no time limit, if they're persistent, the odds say yes. Now, you know, I think there's a window of opportunity where people are going to, you know, if you get into the early next year, middle of summer of next year, people are going to say, that's over with. It's going to get real hard to get people excited about it. And then you have to ask the question, if you finally do come up with the 18,000 or you barely get the 18,000, but the political climate's changed, do you really want to go through with an election? Because like I said, that's only 25% of the voters. You got to get 50% of those who turn out to actually win.
But if you get 25% of the registered voters, you got a pretty good head start. And people who sign a petition are often emotionally invested and more likely to vote than those who didn't.
They are, but this is a, you know, like I said, I hate that it's happened this way, but there is a racial, you know, undertone to this, and that will cause the opponents to be fired up as well. Mm-hmm. So, it's really going to be a question. If it does go on the ballot, it's going to depend on when it is. Mm-hmm. You know, is it at a major election time or is it an off election time? When are they able to call it? And then how much of this kind of, you know, talk gets out there and fires people up to go and
well, and
make
can this
point.
Be, if it's successful, will it be replicated elsewhere? Could we have the French Quarter as a separate city in New Orleans?
That would be interesting if they tried that, but no, I don't think it. I think you see it. It's very rare that it's done with cities of this size. You know, you see it in small areas, in parishes, but I can't ever recall the last time a city was formed of anywhere near this size. I mean, when Central was formed, I think they said it's like the 12th or 15th largest city in the state, and that's it's tiny by comparison to this. So that's why this is such a monster, you know, with its economic impact, and you're going to see all these studies and everything. You'll certainly see some more economic studies in the months ahead.
Chaotic and catastrophic. Those were the words used by the developer, John Friganese, about the prospect of a city of St. George moving away from the boundaries of Baton Rouge. We'll talk about this some more as we move along in the weeks to come. Thank you, Scott Wilfong. Hope you have a good holiday. And tomorrow, John Barry, the author of Rising Tide, and of course, he's been in the news regarding the levy board that he was booted from. We'll talk with him. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.